Dave, it's Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review, and for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new release from UK sludge collective Iron Monkey. The band's new album, Spleen and Goad, will be released on April 5th via Relapse Records. So, the UK sludge trio known as Iron Monkey have returned to unleash their highly anticipated album, Spleen and Goad, the band's first album in 7 years. On Spleen and Goad, the legendary band maintains their unyielding approach, delivering some of the grittiest sludge doom in their extensive 25 plus year history. Dubbed a doom sludge vanguard by the Sludge Lord, Iron Monkey live up to their legacy, absolutely pummeling through each of the 9 tracks on their new album. The album was recorded in their native Nottingham and mastered by Brad Boatwright at Audio Siege.
We love you, Brad. You know we do. In fact, we're going to give you hearts.
Oh, there we are. There you go.
Well, speaking about an album so ugly that the heart should have withered as soon as he came out of my hands.
Oh, Brad. Makes everything better. So,
okay. Well, there you go, Brad. You can now make t-shirts that say that. Brad makes everything better. I'll put it on your website.
You can have that. As I mentioned there, these guys go way back. If you've never heard the Iron Monkey before, like, come on. What's happening?
What is happening?
What is happening? These guys started in the mid-90s, released 2 albums, then split in 1999, where the members went off, did a number of different bands, different projects, including their man Justin Greaves, who went on to do Cripple Black Phoenix and Johnny the Boy. The band then reformed in 2017 with a slightly different lineup. They put out a 3rd album with Relapse. They then had some more personnel changes and are now back to release album number 4, Spleen and Goad. We did a little reaction actually to the, I think it was the first single they released from
the opening, wasn't it? Misanthropizer.
Yes, it was. We quite liked what we'd heard. We obviously were aware who Iron Monkey were before, but.
Yeah, I wasn't sitting there going, they've reinvented their sound. Yeah. I wasn't like that. I was just like, no, this is just feels like like Iron Monkey version 3.
Yeah. So, it felt like a bit of a no-brainer to check this one out and get into more of the album. So, what do we make of Spleen and Goad? Duncan, what did you think of this one?
You just wait for me to put that to my lips. And like, now I must strike. So Iron Monkey, like, veterans of the scene, as you mentioned before. Yeah. And all of that, like, their fingerprints are all over innumerable bands in the UK, like, all over the place. I think I found Iron Monkey after... It was well after I kind of got accustomed to bands like Raging Speedhorn, for example. And I remember, like, the first time I heard Raging Speedhorn, I was like... It's fresh sound, like holding my shitty huge mobile phone out while recording and going, that new sound you're looking for? And that, even though they were on a record label and there was no one on the other end of it, like, it was my gran. It's like, what? No, this gran. They've got the fingers, like, kind of through a lot of stuff that is a lot heavier than what they do, stuff that's actually a lot lighter than what they do, but just in terms of being kind of pioneers of you can do this shit and make a career out of it, which is kind of huge. I don't necessarily feel, though, that, and this is not a slight against the band, that the world has had a vacuum for Iron Monkey in the interim. Plenty of bands out there, maybe not necessarily UK based, but plenty of bands out there that have kind of filled my void of interest in doing things. And the time we've been reviewing music together, not just on this site, but on previous sites, there's innumerable Church of Misery albums that kind of scratching-ish, you know, existing a little bit, even though they're more maybe American inspired, where they're Sim than they are necessarily British inspired, even though they themselves cite like Black Sabbath and like a list of UK bands as being the ones there. That first single did kind of wet my whistle, so to speak. It did give me a kind of like, right, this is interesting. I'm wondering if this is them. You've always got to look at it cynically as a marketing thing from a record label's point of view. You either put out the single that totally sounds like what the band now sound like, or the one that sounds as close to what they used to sound like as E-Tool. Both of them have a kind of catch-22 with them. So I was curious. So when Concrete Shock, which is a great name, but also track number two kicked in, I was like, oh, no. Oh, fuck me. Okay, then. This is, you know, this is, like I said before, Iron Monkey version three, you know, where the band are like, this is our sound, and strap yourselves in, because this sound is going to go almost an hour. which some people might be upset by. I am not. Like, I think there's a weird, almost kind of meditation that you do with Doomy Sludge, where you find the rhythm, you find the groove, that the kind of fulcrum, you know, center point of a riff, and then you just let it slowly wash over you. The same way that you, like, you would look at one of those in the 90s, you'd look at one of those magic picture puzzles, and you would have to basically stare at them and let your face be absorbed in it before you would see the unicorn. That's kind of what it's like listening to an Iron Monkey album. I kind of feel like time is an arbitrary issue. Like, let's not focus on time. Let's actually focus on the wave and the groove. And this album is full of wave and full of groove. In fact, like, one may argue is too much wave and too much groove. I would say, shut up, sit down, you ignorant slut. Like, once you understand the building blocks of what this band do, there isn't really any surprises. And to be honest, the only track that kind of made me where I go, oh, was track five, Rat Flag, where they paced things up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hello. But by the midpoint, they were right back to that. And I was like, all right, all right. And then, but they sped up at the end. What I also love about this, and I take your view on it as well, it does sound like there's a combination of recording techniques in here. Like, some tracks sound a bit crisper than others, and I don't know if that's effects that are used on guitars, or whether or not that's a conscious choice to dirty up tracks a little bit more than they already are. Especially towards the later part, I think it's the Gurges, track number eight, has a section where it feels like it's almost been recorded differently, like with a different guitar and a different, like, a different cabinet. Not in a bad way. I loved it because it added character for me. It might just be an effect pedal. It might just be like, we have Fuzz Crunch. This one's called Kill Dunk. There we are. Press a Kill Dunk. Vocally, it's savage. Like, it's absolutely everything that comes out of the vocals here just sounds sore and raw, and you can probably buy an ointment for it. You know, like, ask your doctor. Your doctor's like, nah, don't do that anymore. And like, I've got an album to record. They also experiment a little bit in the opening and closing of tracks with kind of weird effects on guitars, whether it's kind of like kind of reverby, kind of feedbacky noises, or maybe switching amps on and off, or whatever they're doing. I like that as well. It adds a kind of weird, almost digitally sort of analogy thing, kind of oxymoronic as that sounds, like either an effect that's physically being done or an effect that someone is putting in afterwards as a way to kind of jar into the track. And then once the track kicks off, you're in the zone. It sounds fucking huge for a three-piece. Like, it sounds massive and foreboding and nasty and primal. And we've just come out of, in the last couple of weeks, we've just seen Primitive Man, who, like, did feel like they'd come from the Stone Age. And my big takeaway from that was, like, it sounds heavy, but I just wish there was more groove. And then this album came in, and I was like, this is what it should have been. you know, like, huge, huge, huge. And there's no shortage of them, granted. It's not like one song has 40 riffs. One song has maybe three. Maybe four and a half-ish. And I will play for the full length. So I suppose my point here, bringing it back in, is that if you're approaching the Iron Monkey album with a view to seeing a sea shift change from the band, you're probably not going to get that. But I would argue that's kind of what we need right now. There's a lot of bands taking that sound, co-opted it, adapted it, made it more progressive, made it more commercial, or done whatever they have done with it. That there is a gap, I think, in the UK scene right now for bands that just... There's a reason bands like Napalm Death have lasted the test of time, because they have that sound, and that sound is kind of what keeps them going. And if anyone does that sound, they kind of get compared that way. Iron Monkey are kind of the same thing. They have this hugely heavy, massive, discordant, sludgy, doomy tone about them. It has no urge to change. In fact, it's like a massive... It's like that... Date this review. It's like that boat that smashed into that bridge this week.
Yeah.
Like, I saw people like online go, that, why didn't they turn it? Because by the time you've turned that wheel, it takes about 3 minutes for the boat actually to shift, because it's that fucking huge. That's Iron Monkey. At this stage of their career, they are a massive, monolithic machine moving forward, that any possibility of changing another direction, like, should have happened 2 decades ago. It ain't happening. And I love that. I do think there is, I think with their sound now, especially the production on this one, it feels invigorating. Like, if you told me this, but spans 20 odd years into their career, I would be surprised by that. I don't get that vibe. It sits comfortably amongst music I've been listening to the last couple of years. So I still think they've got it. Would I have loved to seen like something from the side? Yes, but I'm greedy that way. But at the same time, I can eat this stuff up, man. Like, I'm happy with everything that's on here. And if the band want to continue doing that, and they do it every 5 years and release an album like this, you know what? Happy with that as well. So yeah, I had a great time with this. I thought it's just huge, like from start to finish. And even the closing track, which is like an instrumental, I was like, this doesn't need to be here, but I don't fucking care. Like, could not care fucking less. Make as many weird noises as you want at tracks like CSP at the end, where we're just like, wah! And I'm like, cool, yeah, let's do it. I suppose my big thing is I was less surprised than I thought it was going to be. But at the same time, there is a comfort and a hypnotic nature of this album that makes me totally okay with it.
Yeah.
What did you make of it, Dave? Big Davey, every track needs to have a blast beat. It's your new nickname,
to be honest.
Every track needs a blast beat. You told me to get your gravestone written with, here lies David Buchanan, date death to be confirmed. Every track needs a blast beat. P.S. Duncan arranged this to get it done. My family has now told me it's inappropriate, so I'm going to mention the fact that I was married with a kid as well, Keith, who are going to miss me deeply. It's a huge headstone, man. It's like a mausoleum.
It's just,
how did you get on with this?
Life size.
Because you're like, misanthropies are finished. Yeah. And we were both like, yeah, right, cool, let's check the album out. Like, this feels like just give me an album of that. And they do just kind of give you an album of that. So was that album satiating for yourself? Did you feel full at the end? Or
I was a big fan of Iron Monkey. I loved the last album, 913. So I'd kind of high hopes for this after hearing the track that we reacted to. And like, I agree with what you said there. Like, if you're expecting an album that's going to showcase a radical new side of Iron Monkey, then probably think again, to be honest, because this is Iron Monkey doing what they do. It's an album that just like kicks you straight in the chest and then just continues to pound you for 53 minutes.
Stops you when you're on the ground in the same spot.
Yeah, absolutely does. To be honest, I wouldn't want it any other way. When you listen to a new Iron Monkey album, you expect certain things to be there. You're looking for these key elements of their sound. It's heavily sludge-laden. The grooves are colossal. The vocals are primal as fuck. And the production feels like it's been dragged through the grimiest back alley of the roughest scheme in Glasgow. It's a filthy... savage experience, and that's what Spleen and Goad is. in comparison to the last album, to 913, I think overall this is a little bit more controlled. They are quite happy to play out a little bit longer than previously. It feels like there's a little bit less urgency on this one at times. It's a slightly longer album at 53 minutes, and the song lengths in general are all kind of above 5, 6, 7 minutes, except the closing track, which is just kind of over 3. And I'll come back to that. But in general, most tracks stick within the kind of slow to mid-paced, sludgy, doomy tempos, where they just really let those big, filthy riffs do the talking. And the riffs on this are killer. Like, we've talked about Misanthropizer on the reaction, and it's kind of like a mix of like I Hate God, and there's a little bit of Raging Speedhorn in it as well, to be honest. It's got a little bit of a kind of southern swagger. It's got loads of weight to it, but also like a vocal delivery that you can't help but scream Misanthropizer along with it. Like, it's got a hook in it as well. So as a, like an opening track, it's a killer. It's exactly what you want as an opening track on your album, and the album just kind of continues to kind of dominate you with this wave of sludge and thunderous drums. But it's got a great feel to it. Like, I love the kind of the sway and the rhythm of this album. It's
the wave, Dave. Embrace the wave. Embrace the wave it. Of the album.
Embrace it. You feel yourself getting into the groove very quickly. And although, like, it's not reinventing the wheel, it's very Moorish, this album. I found, like, even at 53 minutes long, I was happy just to sit and let it completely wash over me. Even the longer tracks, like Off Switch, which is, like, what, about 7.5 minutes. And it doesn't really change all that much throughout the track until the end, really. But I was still locked in it. I didn't feel like it was too long or they'd kind of overstayed their welcome with it.
You've got your headphones on, the family are trying to speak to you, like, this is daddy's sludge hour. Like, just give him a wee bit of peace, wee sludge hour.
Just let me rock back and forth. Then they cleverly follow that up with something a bit more snappy, like Rat Flag, which pulls in some, it's kind of like kind of sludge meets kind of punk traits. Reminding me at times of Super Joint Ritual a wee bit. It's not the only Phil Anselmo related influence on the album either.
It's hard to do anything kind of sludgy and doomy and not have, like, even though he isn't, like, that's the thing, you know what I mean? He had that one, he did Down. Before that, it wasn't really any sound. And then after that, it was like, all right, he's reinvented this sound. Everything kind of needs to pair. Like, I just imagine any band writing music now that has, like, there should be a royalty check that somehow wakes his way to Phil Anselmo. I know we don't sound just like you, but we are nodding the cap to you. Yeah. It's like, we're using deepest voice, thank you. But you can, but I can. But yeah, I know what you mean. It does have the... Actually, I never... Like, Rat Flag does have SJR sound about it. Yeah. I hadn't even pegged at all, man.
Yeah. But yeah, there's little kind of Down fingerprints all over this as well, which I really enjoyed. I love Down, so like I'm not issues with that at all. The end of the album is interesting that they go for like another like 7 minute plus track in the Gurgies, which is quite doomy and again has some kind of I Hate God elements about it. That then leads into the final track, OD Rose, which is the shortest track on the album at 3:18
at single length.
Yes. And when I saw the track length, I was like, oh, right, okay, so they're going for the opposite.
Play a fast
of
one.
The last album was a big closing track. It was like almost 10 minutes long. I was like, so they're doing the opposite on this album, where they're going for something short and sharp and straight to the point. And I was completely wrong. It's the last track is 3 minutes of feedback and noise, basically.
It's what I would use, if I was that band, that's what I would use as the sound of the band taking the stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Kind of feels like something that should be on the front of the album.
Yeah, a wee bit. I was maybe slightly disappointed when that kicked in. I was like, oh, we're not getting a sharp, sharp blast here on the last track.
Let me complain about this 3 minute track that you put on at the end of the 51 minutes I've heard before. How dare you?
Yeah, I'm not going to moan about it too much, to be honest, because I just had like 50 odd minutes of killer sludge prior to that. So, not a huge deal. Yeah, finally, just on the production, for me, I listened to 9:13 again before I listened to this, and kind of,
do we know same producer, different producer?
I don't know who produced this. I know that the band dealt with a lot of the stuff themselves in Nottingham, and obviously Brad's mastered it, but I don't know if there was anyone else involved. This one for me is definitely more weathered sounding than 9:13, which I think that album had a little bit more of a metallic kind of bite to it. On Spleen and Goad, they've opted for a production that still has weight and like a scuzziness to it, but it sounds less produced to an extent. They've kind of removed any kind of sheen from this and kept it much more kind of murky sounding, which I think really works with their sound.
So you'd say the previous album had a wax on sound and this one has a wax off sound, Dave?
Love it.
Call this one the Miyagi.
It's definitely got a character to it that marries up perfectly with the tone that they went for on this release. It wasn't a huge like an album full of surprises, but it was an album that I still really enjoyed listening to, and it's been a wee while since we've heard Iron Monkey release anything.
I was thinking while listening to this, I would be curious, not that I want to influence you in any sort of way to spend money, I would be curious for your opinions on how this would sound on vinyl. There's a quality about it. I'm not just saying that, there is a quality about it that I think would suit that medium. And I will leave it there.
I'm going to have to get like a P.O. box or something like that, because my wife is going to divorce me.
I'm going to have to get a second family. Second family address. So I can buy it. So
buy a house. I just got my vinyl posted there. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
Anyway, finally, scores. Spleen and Goad by Iron Monkey. What are you scoring this one?
A very fucking solid and very crunchy 4. This like I say, it doesn't reinvent the wheel, but technically this band were involved in the creation of that wheel, so kind of reinventing it feels like you probably shouldn't. They're not a band like we mentioned, well, I mentioned Napalm Death earlier on. Napalm Death to me feel like a band that even at the fucking amount of years they've been going, which is like slowly crunching on the old 40 mark. They're a band that will still try and do something that feels experimental or risky. Iron Monkey aren't that band, and I'm kind of glad they aren't. I really do appreciate the fact that they can show up however long the gap is and once again reinstate their dominance through the nastiest sludgy riffs. I don't know if I would want that to ever change. I don't know if I would ever score any of their albums above a 4, but that's not to say that I don't fucking love them when I listen to them. It's just a 4 out of 5.
I'd agree, 4 out of 5 for me as well. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I can totally see what you're saying. I think if they were releasing albums every like couple of years, then it'd be like, okay, let's maybe try something a little different on one of these tracks. But the fact that it's like 7 years since the last one, I'm happy just to get another Iron Monkey album.
100%. And the fact that it sounds as good as it does, I'm like, fucking it's great.
Another set of songs that they can throw into a live set and mix it up with the old stuff as well. So, really enjoyed it. Look, I'd love to see them live if they are planning on touring this album.
It's the bucket list, isn't it? This is one of these ones where we're just putting it out in the ether right now.
Yep. Yeah, because that like
in Nottingham, it's close to Glasgow. It's not like
started listening to metal like kind of 94, 95. Yeah. But by the time I started to get into kind of doom and sludge, I think they'd already split up by 99. Yeah. They split, and then obviously by the time we got back into
we then stopped reviewing, and then they came back.
Yeah,
almost as if they were avoiding us, Dave. Yeah. we're not for that.
But
that on the internet.
Yeah, I'd love to see them live if they are planning on touring this. That would be really cool if they head up to Glasgow or Edinburgh. That'd be awesome. So that is the new album from Iron Monkey, out on April 5th on Relapse Records. Links below to the band, to the pre-order.
Also worth saying, this is totally a Relapse album. Like, see I tried to, like, see Relapse like 10 years ago was fucking built on bands that sounded like this, you know, yes. like sludgy, doomy bands. And it's kind of great that with all the stuff they've got on their label now, which is not sludgy or doomy, they can still like put out an Iron Monkey album. You're like, yeah, this is the perfect fit. It's the best label for them.
Yep, absolutely. So that is the review. Thank you for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.